Listen up, hockey fans. You're in the right place. A no-holds-barred debate between two hockey fans. Stay up to date with current NHL news, even the controversial. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars.
Good evening and welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast. I am the host of the show, Brad Brood. Join alongside my co-host, Blake Friars, as we record on a Sunday night, which is one night out of the ordinary, but Blake had some things going this week, so we're here on a Sunday night, Super Bowl Sunday, talking hockey, a lot more important than the Super Bowl.
Have you been watching the game, though? Like, it's actually a wild game.
Yeah, it hasn't been too bad of a Super Bowl, I guess,
like,
so
it's
far.
It's 35-35 with 3 minutes left. Like, that's what you want, you know what I mean? Like, that's great. I mean, I fell asleep for a little bit in the second quarter because it was a little boring, but, I mean, it's good.
Did you fall off the toilet or something and hit your nose, or?
No, man. It's brutal. I don't want to talk about it, man. It's not a great look for the pod.
Well, I would if you were actually a hockey player, but.
And so what do you mean? So like, I played 16 years.
So you get a dinged up face. You're a goalie.
Hardest position to play in the game.
With a mask, right? Yeah.
Hardest and most important, to say the least.
So you have it. What the hell is going on Saturday?
With like three games in that 9 a.m.?
Stupid. Vancouver plays at 9 a.m. Vancouver time. Calgary plays at 10:30 their time. Edmonton plays at 10:30 their time. There's a total of six games before noon.
Yeah,
It's a freaking Saturday. What are we doing?
It's stupid.
I want to watch hockey on Saturday night.
I understand, like, they had 14 games, and, like, they wanted to get as many as on TV as they could.
No.
But, like, I don't know, man.
They don't ever care about that any other day of the week. Ever.
I know.
So you can't tell me it's that. I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense to me at all. And then, because you do that, you force Winnipeg to start a game at home at 9 o'clock at night their time.
Yeah, when they never play at 9.
They put nine. The game started at 9 o'clock at night in Winnipeg.
Yeah, the games usually start at 7 there.
7:37, so, yeah.
Yeah.
What are they doing? 9 o'clock at night. I know they got to fill a Hockey Night in Canada spot. Maybe could have filled that with one of the other ones, maybe. I don't know. Good God, what a horrendous schedule this year. The schedule maker this year needs to get canned.
And then what was it? What day was that? Was it Wednesday? Where there was only two games on.
Yep, and it's 7 o'clock, both of them.
Like, what? Okay, you have two games. Why can't you have one at 3 and one at 7? Like, why do they gotta be at the same time?
3? What are you talking about?
5 and 8 or whatever.
No, you do.
Spread it out.
Yeah.
Have a doubleheader.
No, we can't do that.
The NHL is notoriously bad for that, having all of the games start at the same time. Like the NBA staggers are for like 15, 20 minutes, so you, like when one game's over, you can still catch another game. NHL, no. Everything's got to be at the same time.
I don't understand it. Bruce Boudreau has found a new home back at the NHL Network, which makes me happy. Hopefully he's back on NHL Radio too, because I don't watch NHL Network as much as I listen to the NHL Radio, but I don't know. I think he's one of the most fascinating guys to listen to, and I'm super, super happy to see him back.
Yeah, no, his insight is great. Like, even listening to his like media press conferences before, he was like super depressed, but like, he's pretty insightful, right? What did we talk about after he got fired? Like, if he would get another job, like, is there some landing spots you can think of? Like, there's two that come to mind for me that he could immediately help, which would be the Senators and the Islanders. Like, I think he would help both of those
teams. There is no way, if I'm Bruce Boudreau, that I am going to coach another team. Because the second I go to coach another team.
Send off was really good.
No, listen to me. The second I go coach another team, then I lose my salary from Vancouver. And I'm not going to put them off.
I'm talking about next year though.
He has a contract next year with Vancouver.
No. This was
his. Was it ending this year? Okay, well then maybe then I will consider it, but I am going to milk them for every penny that I can get.
Yeah, no, it's definitely. Yeah, okay.
He's probably got I don't know. I hope he takes some time. I hope he takes some time.
I mean, he's getting up there. He's what, like 64?
Well, I don't mean there's a lot of older coaches than him. I mean,
he's one of the oldest though. I mean, maybe Lindy Ruff's older than him.
I'm pretty sure he's not the oldest.
Bonus might be the oldest.
He's probably the oldest. I think Daryl Sutter might be right up there.
Yeah,
I don't know. So we're getting close to the NHL.
Hold on.
We're not Googling this.
Before we go, have you started season 4 of You?
Oh, no, I haven't. But I've read and heard from numerous people not to even waste my time.
See, I saw the same thing. Oh, I'm probably going to cancel Netflix, too. It's so trash. You see, you can't even password share now anymore?
Well, of course you can. No shit. Because that's called stealing, dude.
No, but like, okay. So me, my mom, and my dad live in the same house, right? Okay.
Yeah.
And my sister has her own house in Kenosha. Okay.
Yeah, she's an adult now and gone. So she needs to get her own account.
I guess, but it's like, why do you have to be in the same household? That's so stupid.
So Blake, do you want them to lose
so much money?
No, they're not. They're actually going to make money now.
Okay, well, a lot of people I know, I just canceled their accounts.
Then that's fine, because most of them are cheating their accounts anyways.
Yes.
So what's Netflix you losing? Nothing.
Lots of customers?
No, they're not. People are stealing.
Yeah, it's like $20 a month.
It is $9.99.
Yeah, for two screens. For
yes,
four screens,
and that's
it's
plenty.
Like $20.
Okay, so why do you need four screens?
It's like five people use it.
Okay, well then you pool your money together, you dipshit.
Okay.
Coming from the guy who doesn't pay any bills anyways, it kind of makes me wonder.
Come on.
Right?
No shots, please.
So the trade deadline is drawing near. And last week the NBA had a trade that I just don't understand. So one of my buddies is a Phoenix Suns fan. And Phoenix gets Kevin Durant and TJ Warren, but gives up Bridges, Johnson, Crowder, and four first-round picks and a 2028 pick swap. Four first-round picks.
It's one of the best players in the world.
I don't care if it's Jesus. You just set your franchise back for over a decade.
Yeah, but like I said, like what did we say about the Seattle Thunderbirds trade for Owen Zellweger?
We said it was stupid.
But we said if they win the Western League this year and they win a Memorial Cup, it'll soften the blow. It's the same thing here. You got
still a blow.
You got Kevin Durant for three more years.
So let me ask you a question. Would you rather win one cup and then suck for 20 years? Or come close and be competitive for 20 years?
I mean, I'd rather win.
And never win for 20 more years.
I've been watching my team for almost 23 years. And I've
bad example. You picked a loser, dude. That's your own damn fault.
Okay. Yeah, but I'm just saying. You asked the question, 20 years and win one cup or be competitive for 20 years? I would rather win a cup.
So you would trade all.
You know how hard it is to win?
Yeah, I know how hard it is to win.
There's like 16 teams in the league that haven't won.
Yeah.
So the hardest trophy to win in sports.
I'm just saying, like, I don't know what this does to a franchise when you do that. I think it's idiotic. I think this is stupid because.
But this happens all the time in basketball.
I know. That's one of the things that makes the NBA so ridiculous.
But it's actually like. It's actually great, though, because everybody talks about it. Could you imagine if there's an NHL trade like that, how much buzz that would have on social media and stuff? That would be crazy.
And could you imagine how long that team would suck then, not having four first-round picks?
Yeah, it would. Yeah, but if you win in the time that you have that player that you got,
so what matter? What if you make the trade and you don't win? which there's a higher likelihood that you don't win.
Well, I mean, they just went to the finals 2 years ago, and they just got one of the best players in the world. So
that's hurt, by the way, too. And by the way, he's hurt too.
No, he'll be fine.
I know basketball players, they barrel through injuries, don't they? They grit it through injuries, don't they? Yeah.
No.
It's a joke. Today on the episode, we are going to talk about the Vladimir Tarasenko trade and a lot of trade rumors heating up this week, and we're going to talk about those. We'll go around the league talking about concussion spotters, D-men getting hit by cars, banged up players. Phoenix Copley resigns in L.A. Crosby blows up, and some more stupid celebrations in hockey this week. Well, we are getting closer and closer each week to NHL trade deadlines. We're about 2.5 weeks away, a little over 2.5 weeks, till the NHL trade deadline. And one move happened this week, and I wouldn't say it's a surprising move, but Vladimir Tarasenko traded to the New York Rangers. I'll run down the trade. Tarasenko and McCullough go to the Rangers. The Blues get Sammy Blais back, Hunter Skinner, a 2023 first rounder, and a 2024 fourth round pick. And I chuckled when I saw this trade.
Why?
My first thought was, you know what, St. Louis? You got a haul for an aging forward that you were getting rid of anyways. Because you got a first round pick, which is going to be a late first rounder, big time late, but that's okay. But you got Sammy Blais back, who I think is like, when I watch him play, I'm like, this is everything the Rangers need for the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they gave him up.
But you could also say, though, now they formed one of the best first lines in hockey, and Tarasenko and Panarin have a lot of experience playing at the international level. So,
okay.
I think it's a match made in heaven, right?
And what happens in the playoffs to hockey? It gets gritty, it gets mean, and it gets physical, and Sammy Blais would be in my top 10 players I would want.
Okay, for but that. Tarasenko showed in 2018 that he can play that gritty style. He showed it against Boston.
I'm not knocking that. But you add him to the team and keep Sammy Blais, and what happens? They had to have another option.
I think they had to have another option. Though, no, wasn't he making $4 million?
They would still be fine. I'm almost. Let me pull up cap friendly here. Let me take a look here. I think they would have been still fine, because I how can you afford to get rid of that grit in the playoffs for a team that suffers in that category anyways? You got Kreider. I give you that. But, I mean, they had to have been able to.
Sammy Blais only made 1.5, so.
So he fits.
I thought he was making more. Yeah.
So he fits. I don't get it. I don't get it. I would have given another.
I like that Mikula guy they got too, the left hand D. He's still young. He could be good.
And, yeah, I mean, that's too.
So maybe that's why you throw a Blais in there, because you're getting a young D man back. But
it still does not negate the fact that if this team wants to win a Stanley Cup, you gave up a guy that's going to get you there. Look at your front. You have a couple guys that can handle the grit and grime, the VCs, the Goudreaus, the Kreiders, but beyond that, this team is going to get eaten up.
Yeah, but they're going to score a lot of goals.
Oh, now you can't score with broken arms. This team is going to miss that in the playoffs, big time.
Let's see. It's a guy like the trade, though. I think it's a good trade for both teams.
I think Tarasenko was old.
Yeah.
And I mean, we haven't seen, you said that he was really good and very durable in the playoffs, and I agree. He was. But now he's 31. He's slowed.
29 points.
And he's slowed down a lot.
The debate is, so did you see Patrick Kane's comments?
I did. Actually, I have them right in front of me.
That was kind of weird, like, because he's under contract, and he basically said that he wanted to get traded to Rangers.
Well, he holds the cards. He holds the cards.
Yeah, he's got his own move clause, but
so I mean,
that's the question though that everybody's asking: would you rather have got Tarasenko or Patrick Kane? And Patrick Kane's been hurt most of the year.
I still probably would want Patrick Kane.
Yeah.
But I think what they would have had to give up would have been a whole hell of a lot more.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that's a giant factor in this.
Right.
But I don't know. I think that's a giant factor. I really, really do. I'm interested, though. I'm a little surprised St. Louis is so all in this deadline.
What do you mean? They're selling.
I know. I kind of looked at this year as their last kick at the can. I just didn't. I don't think they were that far out. I mean, with the way the West is, you did. I don't know. There's a lot of floundering teams.
They're 9 points out, and they got to give games in hand.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So, like, they're looking at this and thinking, okay, we're gonna sell off here. I wouldn't be surprised if Ryan O'Reilly was gone in the next couple weeks and.
I think going back to the Patrick Kane thing, you know, I think this is probably the only team that Kane had on his list that he'd be willing to go to.
Yeah, maybe. You might be right about that. But I think Sammy Blais is going to get flipped again. He's a pending UFA.
Do you think he gets flipped again?
Yeah, he's gonna get flipped again. He's 27. He's making 1.5. That's a valuable contract that you can flip.
I would want him. Oh my god, I would love it.
They have a lot of gritty guys on this team. Noel Achari, pending UFA, making 1.2. You got Ivan Barbashev, 2.2. Like, keep going down the list here. Like, they got some gritty guys that they're going to be selling off. Like, Barbashev's going to be gone, Blaze's going to be gone, Achari's going to be gone, O'Reilly's going to be gone. Like, they're just going to have a fire sale.
So do you think O'Reilly's going to be gone? Did you see his comments this week? He said, I want to be here. This is where I want to go. And I have, or he doesn't have a no trade clause in his contract, but he says, this is where I want to be. I hope I don't get moved.
Players can say that all they want. He doesn't have any control, right? I mean, you can say you don't want to get traded all you want.
Yeah, no, I know.
Bill Armstrong can go get on the phone right now, and O'Reilly can be traded. So,
do you think he gets moved? And do you think his return is that big? You're not getting a first round.
They'd be selling pretty low on him right now, but yeah. I mean, I don't really see his value getting much higher. You know what I mean? Like he's getting old, but he's got that gritty style of play that helps you win.
He's a UFA at the end of the year, and
he is. Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to move him, you got to move him. He's making 7.5. That creates a huge freaking cap hell. You're probably going to have to eat some salary. He's 32. I don't think he's.
That might be a three-way trade again. We'll see. Might not.
You know, you keep talking about these three-way trades, and how come I never see any?
It happened three times last year.
Yeah, well, it's going to have to. It's going to. Trades are going to have to be.
That's what's going to have to happen in a flat cap world, you know? Like, your team's going to have to get creative if they want to make these big splashes.
No, I know. I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
Like, you're good. Like, GMs are going to have to start thinking outside the box. Like, there ain't going to be. very rarely is there any hockey trades in a flat cap world, like salary for salary, good player for good player, because there's buyers and there's sellers. Like there's the supply and demand. It doesn't add up.
You know what I mean? We keep hearing the name Patrick Kane going to Edmonton too. That's a rumor that just keeps never dying. And I'm sorry. I just don't see it. I think there's a better chance of him going to Vegas or Dallas than probably anywhere.
Vegas is going to make a move. I told you that last week. They are going to make a huge splash. Like, okay, so we got to talk about this. What are they going to do in net? They're in huge trouble.
Trouble. So why couldn't they work something with Arizona?
For Vemelka?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Perfect. That'd be a great guy to go get. But if you're Arizona, like, unless you're getting a good haul, why would you help Vegas out? Like, they screwed every single team at the expansion draft, and I still think they're getting blackballed by trades.
Well, I think there's a ton of players in the league that don't want to go play in Vegas.
See, the way they treat people.
They
get rid of people for nothing. They get them and they trade them a year later. Like, the way they just, we talked about this, like, how they treat Fleury is, it just rubbed me the wrong way.
Oh, Patrick Reddy too. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you could, the list goes on and on and on. I mean, you could say that too about, what's the guy, Nate Schmidt. They've done a lot of guys dirty, you know. Timo Meier, he was the biggest guy that everybody was talking about for forever and ever. And all talks with that have just went dead silent. I still think he's either going to New Jersey or Carolina. But why hasn't this deal been done?
Yeah, well, I said last week that I thought Tarasenko would go to the Devils, and they obviously didn't get him. Now they got to ramp up for Timo Meier now. Like, you got to, especially with Jack Hughes out for 3 weeks. 2 to 3 weeks, like, you got to get some scoring help there until he gets back. You don't want to slip in the standing. So, I don't know. They need to do something.
The two biggest rumors of the week, and the two that had the most chatter. We'll talk Carlson first. Carlson and Chychrun are the two that seem like everybody has been talking about the last 2 days, but. Erik Karlsson is continually being rumored to be going to the Edmonton Oilers. I have no idea on earth how this happens or even why this would happen.
I figured it out. I did the math on Cap Friendly. I made a team. I made an Oilers team and came up with a trade.
What are you? Are you moving Tyson Barry back in the deal or what?
Yep.
So, I'm sorry. I came
up with this trade. Hold on. I came up with Tyson Barry, Jesse Puljujärvi, Kyler Yamamoto, and a second round pick for Erik Karlsson, and San Jose retains 2.3.
You're going to give up that much for Erik Karlsson?
Yeah. Erik Karlsson is a huge upgrade on Tyson Barry. Huge upgrade.
Okay, let me ask you a question. What does Edmonton need the most?
They need, well.
What does Edmonton?
They could use a defenseman.
Okay. To do what?
To defend. I get where you're going with this.
So you're going to give up the farm.
Is it the farm, though? Because it's basically. Puljujärvi has been in the doghouse for the last 2 years. He hasn't hit his stride. He's got chances with McDavid. He hasn't performed. Barry is what he is. Karlsson's a huge upgrade, so you're losing Yamamoto in a second.
Wait a second. Whoa. Time out. Does this team have a problem with putting up offense?
No, but whenever
not at all.
If you got a chance to add a guy like Karlsson, I think you go and do it.
But now you create another liability because he's horrendous defensively.
Yeah, but guys like Dylan Holloway Clem Costin, they're making strides that you can afford to trade those two guys.
Clem Costin's a forward, dude. And so is Holloway.
You said sell the farm, but I'm saying those guys stepping up, McLeod, Fogle.
You're not listening to me. Edmonton knows how to put up offense. They don't know how to keep offense out of their net, and they're so you're going to give up. So you're not going to add a good, solid defensive defenseman.
Okay, but what other defensive defensemen is there, though, dude?
They'd be better off going and getting Edmondson and Shen. You add those two to Edmonton, and I'm more scared of them. I am more scared of Edmonton.
So the fear of Erik Karlsson doesn't scare you?
Not at all. Nope.
What?
Because what he does defensively is going to just make me salivate.
He can take over a game himself, though.
And then it's going to make me salivate because guess who's at the back end? Two goalies that are unproven in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
If Edmonton wants to win a cup, Erik Karlsson is not the guy to get.
No, I agree. I'm not saying. This is a hypothetical trade. If I was
an Edmonton fan and I heard talk of them bringing in Karlsson, I would be toilet papering and egging the freaking management of this team's house for doing the same stupid shit they've been doing for 10 years.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that I want them to trade for Karlsson. I don't think it's a great fit at all. I just came up with a hypothetical trade.
No, I know what you're saying. I know. I agree with you, and it would. And I think they're giving up a little too much, but I like your thought process. But I'm just sitting here, I'm looking at these rumors. I'm not saying you're making up the rumors. You're not making up these rumors. The fact that this is who Edmonton thinks is going to solve their problems, whew. Wouldn't you rather give up what you just said, right? Your package right there.
I'd rather get Patrick Kane or something.
Well, no, I think you go out and you get two solid defensemen.
Well, or do that package for Chychrun.
Yes.
You might not even have to give up Barry to get Chychrun.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
He's making 4 points.
Then you're addressing your problems.
Yeah.
If they go get Erik Karlsson, they're not addressing their problems at all.
No.
They might have added another problem because now they got another guy back there who's Kulik's a better defender than Karlsson. Everybody on their roster is a better defender than Karlsson.
I don't know about Nurse.
Oh, that's a good point there. But they're locked in with him forever.
Yeah, I really like Bouchard. I think Broberg's a good young D-man. I like Kulak's a solid guy.
Kulak is their most solid defender they have.
Nurse.
Defender.
I think Bouchard is.
No. Nope.
You don't like him on D?
I think he's got a lot of learning to do. I think he's going to be a great defenseman.
I mean, is he 23 years old?
He is 23. But right now, he makes way too many turnovers. Way too many. But he's got a better offensive upside. Okay?
Yeah.
But pure defense on their team, their best defender is Kulak and CeCe.
Yeah.
And that's scary.
Oilers are in the right direction. They are they're hot right now.
Well, they didn't look too hot today.
Campbell's won his last 8 starts. They lost, what, 6-2 to Montreal?
Yeah. Leaky. Leaky.
I mean, they're 3 points out of first place. So
I know, but they have got to address their problem.
Yeah.
Now, Jacob Chychrun.
Do you know?
Today's Skinner.
Oh, Skinner. Not good. You got the hook?
Nope. Just pucks going by him all night. Chychrun. This one here has been crazy, as last night it was reported that he was a healthy scratch in the St. Louis game, and the team came out and said it like it is. They called it trade-related reasons, which I love that.
Yeah.
And then it was announced by two insiders last night, both of which are fairly reliable. I mean, it wasn't Elliot Friedman, but it was fairly reliable sources, and they said that the Kings, Bruins and Flames were engaged in trade talks, with LA being reported by Frank Saravelli as being the front runner. And there was more on that tonight, too.
I heard they're doing around Brad Clark. I think that'd be a big mistake.
That was what I saw tonight too. Defensive prospect Brant Clark is one of the pieces that's involved in this discussions that are going on. And I don't know. You know what I think? Here's one of the things. I feel like we've been talking about Jacob Chychrun being traded for like 4 years. Does it not feel like we've been talking about this for four years?
At least a couple.
And whoever gets him, I have a hard time believing they're ever going to be satisfied and happy. Because there's been such inflated perspective of what he's going to bring to your team.
Yeah.
That I know he's on a great salary right now. Like everything is like really pretty good with it because he's got a few more years. Let me pull it up here. He's got three more years two more after this at 4.6. He's 24 years old, big, strong body defenseman. He'd be great for LA. He would help that LA team out so much. So much. And I also saw rumblings that LA was in part of this deal. Vemelka was one of the guys. There was going to be some goalie swapping going on too. But this is all.
Could see Peterson going back in a deal maybe for cap or whatever.
All speculation though. I wouldn't
give up Brant Clark. I mean, 6'3", 190. He's going to grow. He's 20. Wow. Voice crack right there. Jeez.
What do you want to do?
Right hand, 20 years old. Why would you trade a guy like that? I mean,
well, because you want Jacob Chychrun.
Yeah, but like I don't think you would have to trade Brant Clark to get him.
Well, obviously, you I think you do because Arizona's been holding their cards on this guy for freaking ever and ever and ever.
They got one of the best. We've been talking about their prospect pool for a long time, right? And like they can go trade for anybody on the market if they wanted to. They have the prospects, they have the picks, they got the cap to do anything they want. Like they can, they whatever they do is up to them. They can do everything they want.
I got a feeling moves will happen this week, and we'll have a lot to talk about next week. Let's take a second here, and then we'll go around the NHL. Lots to talk about here as we go around the NHL and talk about some odds and ends through the league. And I noticed something this week. Monday night, I watched some hockey, and Tuesday, I watched every night this week, actually. Monday night, Nazem Kadri gets laid out by Jacob Trouba. Totally clean hit. Helmet goes flying. Hits the ice hard. I believe it was that same night Cale Makar gets elbowed right in the head, or was it elbow or shoulder? One of the two. From Jeff Carter. And I mean, headshot.
That was Makar.
He looks dazed and stuff. Neither player were removed from the game by concussion spotters. Is this done? Are we not doing this anymore?
Yeah, it's so inconsistent. Like they'll pull a goalie for getting a shot in the head.
I know.
Like they don't get a guy that just gets a huge elbow to the head. Like I don't know.
I don't understand.
I don't think Makar's played since.
He hasn't. I think he stayed in the game but didn't play later on.
He hasn't played the last two games, I think.
But no concussion, no protocol there, he didn't get hauled to the locker room. Nazem Kadri did not get hauled to the locker room, even though he jumped right up. But it's still a hit to the head.
Do you think Kadri got hit in the head, though?
He fell back.
It was more shoulder. I think he drove through.
But he still, if you're a concussion spotter, you err on the side, right?
Yeah.
You err on the side of precaution. His helmet went 15 feet into the air.
That was a crazy hit.
You err on the side of precaution, right? No, they didn't err on it. Nope, nothing happens there. I just don't understand it. Just when you thought the Calgary Flames were maybe getting it together, you realize that their year is just cursed. Rasmus Sanderson hit by a car. Hit by a car.
Fuck.
Wednesday night in Detroit on a road trip. He rents a scooter to go meet his teammates for supper, is going through a crosswalk right where he should be on his scooter, no alcohol involved, gets run over by a car, is hauled to the hospital in an ambulance.
It's not funny. When I saw this, I thought it was fake. Like, you know all the bullshit on Twitter and, like, all the fake clickbait shit. It's like, Rasmus Anderson struck by a car. I'm like, what? What is this? On a scooter. I'm like, what? Like, there's no way this is real. But it turns out, like, has he played since?
Has not played since. He missed Saturday or Friday or what day was it? He missed the Detroit game Thursday night. He missed Saturday's morning game against the Sabres, a Pee Wee morning game. And then he missed, or he's, we'll see if he plays Monday night against Ottawa. I've heard rumblings that he's not playing on the road trip. He'll get back at it on Thursday when they are back home. But I heard stitches, bumps, and bruises, but holy cow. Like, I mean, is your season cursed when you got players getting hit by cars?
That's tough.
Crazy.
That is tough.
Another flurry of injuries for all kinds of different people in the league. Matt Murray, big shocker, injured, headed to IR again for the Maple Leafs. They've recalled Joseph Woll. A really weird one last night. Anton Forsberg is ruled out indefinitely for the Ottawa Senators. Tears both MCLs in both his knees when Zach Hyman falls on him. That was last night too, I guess. Yesterday morning actually. And, yeah, I watched it and it was like, wow, he was hauled off on a stretcher. Yeah, he's out indefinitely.
I've never seen a goalie tear both of his knees.
Well, he went back and Hyman landed on him and both his legs were facing the wrong direction. Something has to give.
Yeah, but like that, that's going to be a long, long, long recovery for him. Like,
well,
like,
you know, it's
that,
hard.
That might, honestly, that might put his career in jeopardy because.
Well, it's hard.
Like, how are you supposed to train both knees at the same time?
Hard to rehab one. Now you got to rehab both. Yeah. And you can't even stand up.
Yeah.
How do you take a piss?
Like, that's going to be.
Unreal. It's going to be very.
I would be surprised if he played again because that's tough.
Crazy. Another Forsberg hurt in Nashville is Philip Forsberg got drilled to the ground. I can't even. I'm trying to remember who threw him to the ground. It was against Philly, and the guy finished the check and he threw Forsberg down and Forsberg smashed his head on the ice. And he was more than woozy coming up. And, so he's out right when the Predators need him. They're in the hunt of this, the thick of this race. And, yeah, he's out now. So we'll see what happens there. LA re-signs Phoenix Copley. Me and you have talked about this lately on the show. Gets a 1 year, $1.5 million deal. And I think this is a great signing because he has been a bright spot for this LA Kings team this year.
Yeah, no, he's really helped them. And in a year where they thought they were giving the reins to Cal Peterson, he ends up getting put on waivers. I think he's in Ontario right now. He's kind of saved their season, so called, I guess.
Does this make you wonder and maybe give that goaltender swap thing a little bit more credibility with Arizona?
It might, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, like. But then you would have Valmelka
and Copley.
Copley and Quick.
Yeah.
Like you can't have three goalies.
Oh, right now, if you're LA, if you're Ottawa, boy, is three enough? If you're Toronto, I don't know, is three enough? Are 10 defensemen enough? I don't know anymore.
Yeah.
Right? It sounds crazy, but I don't know. Did you see Sidney Crosby blow up last night?
I mean, I was honestly surprised that it was his first game misconduct. I'm honestly surprised he didn't get one in his rookie season where he had 120 pips. Like that surprised me.
I watched the hit on him. I did not think it was that bad.
Okay, it's a penalty though.
It's a penalty for sure. But no, for him to get that mad though, it's a penalty for sure. For sure.
And it's a 5-0 game, like.
But he got really pissed off. And then, then after the game, he spoke to the media and he said, I mean, here's what his quote was. I mean, can I really say what I think anyway without, and then he stopped and he says, let's just be honest here. And then he just stopped because he knew he was going to get fined.
Yeah. didn't want to get the 25K slap.
Oh, crazy. Stupid celebrations this week. I know you'll like this, Blake. I know you'll think this is the greatest thing in the world. Because you think stupid shit like this is great. Milwaukee Admirals. Right? Am I wrong?
Now, yeah, he's just getting a lift in. He's just getting a lift in.
That's Milwaukee Admirals goalie Yaroslav Askarov threw himself to the ice after winning the shootout, pulls the net down on top of him, and starts doing bench presses. I also saw Jesper Wallstedt, who is an unbelievable goalie prospect for the Minnesota Wild, doing the wave during the game as the fans did the wave.
It's just guys showing their personality. Here's the first thing. When you went on Twitter, yep. That is all my timeline was, is Askarov. Is that not what you want for
no.
the league?
So you want to be a Twitter star or a good goalie?
But I'm just saying, though, like, that got a lot of traction on a lot of outlets.
I know, but wait a minute. Why are the millennials so worried about traction on social media instead of being a good person?
Well, Gary's trying to grow the game. The NHL is the worst at marketing their stars. We've already talked about
this. They're not.
Yes, they are.
Why? Why do you say
that? All the guys that are the quote-unquote faces of the league, the Crosbys, the McDavids, they're all robots. They're so boring.
That's because they're.
How can you market a league around those two guys when they're the most boring personalities?
Hey, that's because they're Western Canadian farm boys, and that's what they've been raised with morals and standards, and you don't show up opponents.
What are you talking about? Crosby is from Eastern Canada, McDavid's from Ontario.
Okay, so they're quiet Canadian kids.
But I'm just saying.
What's wrong with that, Blake? You got Ovechkin.
But wouldn't you say it would be easier to market a Tage Thompson than a Connor McDavid or a Crosby because of their personalities?
Oh, yeah. Tage Thompson is really burning up the media. He hardly says a word. He's a quiet kid, man. You know what? That's the difference.
That's who guys look up to right now.
Blake, that's the difference. Hockey players are not arrogant people like a lot of the other sports are. Right? They're humble.
No, it's about the team.
They're humble. It's about the team. That's what makes hockey so wonderful. Yeah. That is what makes hockey so wonderful. We can't forget that. We got a good three questions today. Really good three questions. Are you ready?
Yeah.
It's time for three questions.
Last week, Blake fired three questions at me. This week, I have three questions for him. Let's start it off right away. John Cooper coaches his 700th career game. When you think about National Hockey League coaches, do you consider him one of the greatest of all time?
Greatest of all time. He'd probably be just outside my top five. The thing I like about John Cooper is how he got here, right? He had to grind, and he started out working at a law firm, and then he went and coached in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League, and then he worked his way up.
Then he went to the North American Hockey League.
The North American Hockey League.
And won a championship.
And then he went to the East Coast, then he went to the AHL. He just kept grinding and grinding and climbing the ladder. And I got a lot of time for guys like that, right? Guys that knows what it takes to get to where you be and to stay there. And it's crazy to think, like, I'm pretty sure he's the longest tenure coach in the league.
He is.
Right?
He is.
He's
current.
Only been there, what, like 6 years?
He's the longest tenured by a lot, too.
Yeah, because guys get fired like every 2 years.
One bad year, out of here.
They just keep getting rinsed and repeated.
I don't know if I look at him as an all-time great yet, but he's well on his way. That's how I feel.
Two cups, couple Jack Adams. Yeah, he's had a successful career.
Question number two: the Los Angeles Kings celebrated the career of Dustin Brown with a jersey retirement and a statue. Is this guy a Hall of Famer?
I don't think he is. I mean,
he's a 2-time Stanley Cup champion. He's played 1,296 games, has 712 points, and they made a statue of him.
Yeah. I mean, the jersey retirement I'm fine with. He's a integral part of starting that team from the ground up, and he led them in 2 Stanley Cups as a captain. So, like, I completely see that, but I mean, statues are out in front of the Staples Center for guys like Luke Robitaille and Gretzky. For Dustin Brown out there. Obviously Kobe Bryant and all that stuff is out there, but like, Dustin Brown, bro, what are we doing?
it's like you're walking, looking at all the statues. It's like, which one doesn't belong?
Who is this guy?
I mean, Marcel Dion, I can see him being one, you know, but holy cow, Dustin Brown. They had to put the cup so that he had so with him in the statue so that we knew he actually did something. Question number three. Vander Kane and Brady Tkachuk got into a fight on, it was either Thursday or Friday night. It was a classic fight. It was what I think is the new type of fighting. Two skilled players that are still physical players that when their emotion spurs it on, they get into a good tussle, right? It's not like fighting used to be in the National Hockey League where it was more goon versus goon. But when you think back
or you get hit and the guy fights you.
But when you think back,
like Calgary did 3 times.
You have to do that. That's answering the bell for your guy getting hit.
I know.
Okay, but when you think back to those big, bad fighters, the fighters of the league.
Yeah.
When you were a little kid, that was still prevalent. Who do you look back at and think that was the biggest, baddest?
Oh, well, I wish I was alive for Bob Probert. That would have been cool. Obviously, Ty Domi. The Boogeyman. Yeah, he had some good tilts back in his day. Wade Belak had some good tilts. You know who, Chris Neal? Chris Neal is a tough customer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Cold Knorr, tough customer.
I saw a good tilt with Cold Knorr, boy.
George Parros. Yeah. Could chuck him. Those are the ones that come to mind. You know who, I probably missed a couple more, but.
You know who comes to mind for me? Stu Grimson. Yeah. He was a big one. And another one that comes to mind for me, and there's a story behind this, and I don't know if you know who this is or remember who this guy was, but he was a big bruiser for the St. Louis Blues. His name was Reed Lowe. And the reason I bring up Reed Lowe is, and you need to Google him tonight when you're done, okay? And I want you to watch a few fights. But Reed Lowe got his start playing in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League. And he got traded to the Minot Top Guns.
Top Guns?
Yep, that was the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League team in the early 90s. Reed Lowe was about the exact same age as me. And I knew a lot of the players, and there were some real good players on the team at that time. And I hung out with them quite a bit. And one night we were at a game, we were watching a high school game, and there was a group of us sitting there, and I was visiting with Reed Lowe. And Reed Lowe was telling me about how he was going to make the National Hockey League. And I laughed at him, and I said, Reed, I said, you can't skate. And he looked at me with a straight face, and he says, this right here is getting me to the show. And I chuckled, and I didn't think much of it. 4 years later, this right here got him the National Hockey League, and he was fighting for the St. Louis Blues. And yeah. I want you to put it on YouTube tonight and watch this guy. This guy could throw him with the big boys. And
I'll look him up. Yeah, I will.
He fought a lot of good guys. He's a real nice guy, too. Really, really nice guy. And if you ever hear an interview with him, he often brings up playing for the Minot Top Guns in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League. All right, listener question. Mick Satram, Las Vegas, Nevada. I cannot believe we have never got this question on the show before. I can't believe in 6 years nobody has asked us to do this. His question's wonderful. I loved it. I actually put a lot of thought into it. His question is, who, if you were an NHL player, who is your personal 10-team no-trade list and why? Do you want to go first?
Do you got to go into detail for every single
one? No, just a short explanation for each one. I have like a two-word thing for each one. You want to go first?
Sure.
Okay, you name your 10 and you say like what city it is and why.
I wouldn't get traded to Vancouver. It's obvious reasons.
So they're on your 10-team no trade. Your favorite team is on your 10-team no trade.
I wouldn't want to go there as a player. It's a toxic environment.
Okay. All right. Boy, Blake's hit an all-time low here.
I wouldn't want to go to Anaheim.
Okay.
This doesn't really excite me. Wouldn't want to go to Chicago. Arizona. I really don't want to go to Arizona.
Okay.
Columbus. I just think the city is just trash. I'm not a big fan of Columbus. Ottawa. Same reason as Vancouver. Nobody goes to their games. I don't know. Florida. Would I even be known there?
No, you wouldn't be known there, Blake.
Winnipeg. What is there to do in Winnipeg? Absolutely nothing.
I would go to Winnipeg. They're not on my list. They're not even close to my list. I think it's one of the best fan bases in the league.
It is, sure. But like, there's, it's okay. Such a...
It, you it, finish it, your 10 list. You finish your 10 list, and then I'll tell you how disappointed I am in you.
So, like... that's eight. Like, I struggle with this list because I'm looking, I don't know, like, I like everybody else.
Okay. So that's it?
Yeah. Okay. I got an 18 list. Okay.
So, and here's my thought. I came up with 10 because I could think of 10. But you know what? If I was a player, the most I'd give is 5 because there's honestly only 5 that I really don't want to go to. I am disappointed in you. Before I give you my list, I'm going to be disappointed in you. You're a prairie kid from Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
And you're naming off all Canadian markets, just what Canadians bitch about. Nobody wants to play in Canada. And I want to tell you, I'm an American kid.
Three teams, not seven.
Okay, well, I'm just going to tell you something. I don't have any Canadian on my list because I'd be proud to play in any of those cities. But here's my list. I would not want to play in New Jersey. I was in New Jersey. I did not like it. I don't know what it was. And that organization they just give me bad feelings. Number two is Columbus. And that's because Johnny Gaudreau went there. I heard it's a beautiful place. I've heard it's
Have you been there? It's not that nice.
I've heard it's wonderful. Everybody I've talked to that's been there says they love it. Every player that I've heard say that they would love, they love the city. So I gotta trust them on that. Number three is Carolina. I can't go to Carolina, man. They hate me. They hate me.
You're going to get death threats again.
Blake, I got him picked to go to the cup finals this year to try to, like, mend fences. I can't go to Carolina. Number four is Florida. You want to know why I wouldn't go to Florida? Nobody knows
about
hockey in Florida. It drives me insane. Dallas is on my list. You ever been to Texas? No. Don't want to go anywhere near the southern border. Not going to Texas. Arizona. I'm not going to play in a college rink. I'm sorry. Don't. I wouldn't even have went.
They might have a rank in a couple of years.
I won't even go then because I don't like them. I don't like them. That organization is bunghole city. Chicago. Not going to Chicago. Chicago's the worst city in America right now. Second. Portland's the worst. Chicago's the second worst city in America. Seattle's high on my list of not going there because it is a nut job state.
Why?
It is the most liberal, goofball, homeless, infested, grease pit, pissing and shitting in the street area of the world. Not going there.
Okay.
Detroit. And this is probably not fair of Detroit. Because I have a ton of respect for that organization. I do. I have a ton of respect. But I just don't know if I can live in Detroit. I've heard it's a really bad city. I've heard it's just a dirty city. Boy, that's unfair because I've never been there, but they're on my list. Yeah. Anaheim's the last one. I don't know. I don't even know why I got Anaheim on there. I don't even know. Southern California. But then you could say, well, why don't you have LA and why don't you have San Jose on there? I don't know. They wouldn't be on my five. My five that are no-goes, Florida, Seattle, Chicago, Arizona, and Dallas. Those are my five no-goes. I love that question, though. I love that question.
It's good.
How many moves do we get this week in the league? A lot. I think a lot, don't we?
How many moves?
Yeah, I think this is the week, Blake. I do.
Like three?
I think this is the week. I think this is the week it all gets going. And we're going to see trades.
Yeah, good.
We got Tarasenko last week, and we're going to get a bunch this week. 2.5 weeks till NHL trade deadline. Trades are brewing. Blake and I will be back next Monday night to talk about all the moves, all the trades, and all the upcoming ones. Hopefully there is lots of them. As the NHL season heats up, playoff race is on. Enjoy this week's hockey action. We're back next Monday night, same time. More great hockey talk. Hockey Talk every week, the Debate Hockey Podcast. Connected to the Debate Hockey Podcast on all forms of social media. Follow the show on Twitter at Debate Hockey and follow the hosts on Twitter at Brad Brood and at Friars Blake. The Debate Hockey Podcast can also be found on Facebook and check out the podcast website for all the current and archived shows at debatehockey.com. Get connected, stay connected for insight, opinions, and yes, controversy. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts Brad Brood and Blake Friars. For more great content and to stay up to date, check out debatehockey.com and on Twitter at Debate Hockey. We'll catch you next time. This episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast was copyrighted and produced by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.